Today on the Wisdom Journey, the Apostle Paul offers comfort and hope regarding your future. If you're anxious about what lies ahead, forget about fortune tellers and horoscopes. Instead, immerse yourself in God's Word. Paul addresses the Thessalonians' concern about believers who have died and explains the glorious event of the rapture. Join Stephen as we uncover these truths that encourage and comfort us while we wait.
According to a research survey I read, people spend more than $2 billion a year on something called psychic services industry. All of this includes psychic predictions, fortune-telling services, astrology, horoscopes, palm reading, and the like. $2 billion a year, and that's just in the United States alone. Let me tell you, this isn't just an indication of curiosity. It's an indication of anxiety. I read that following the stock market crash back in 1929, many newspapers began including horoscopes for the very first time. I read one article that revealed that even today, when there's an unexpected downturn in the financial markets, psychics and fortune tellers receive phone calls from Wall Street bankers and financial planners asking for their predictions. Imagine your financial planner calling an astrologer for advice on what to do with your money. Well, the truth is, people would rather look to the stars than to the scriptures. You know, if you're anxious about your future, let me tell you, don't spend money on fortune tellers. Take some money and buy a Bible. Buy some Bible resources and study God's Word. Now, the Bible isn't going to tell you what's going to happen to interest rates next month or what the doctor's report is going to reveal. Frankly, God wants you to trust Him for His timing and His plan for your life. But God does give us the details about our long-term future, particularly as it relates to the future return of Christ. That'll be the day when all our questions will be answered. In fact, we probably won't even ask any questions when we see Him face to face. Now, this future return of Jesus happens to be a major theme here in 1 Thessalonians. In fact, every single chapter ends with a reference to Christ's coming. Now, having touched on this subject already, now here in chapter 4, Paul is going to fill in some of the details. And it begins here in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. Well, the Thessalonians were apparently confused about these future events. And one matter in particular made them wonder, and that was believers who were already asleep, Paul writes. That's a euphemistic reference to those who had already died. The Bible often uses the term sleep for the deceased, which is a gracious way of referring to people who've died. And it's a fitting expression because, it looks like they've gone to sleep, even though their spirit is very much alive. Now, the Thessalonians are wondering if deceased Christians will miss out on the blessing of Christ's return. So, Paul answers their question. He reassures them here in verse 14. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus guarantees that every believer will also be resurrected, physically, bodily, just like Jesus was resurrected. That's why Paul writes back here in verse 13 that we can grieve the death of our loved ones, but we don't grieve without hope. Why? Well, because we know the future. Now, let's put the biblical clues together. Paul writes over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 that when a Christian dies, that person's spirit immediately enters the presence of the Lord. There's no limbo. There's no soul sleep. The believer's spirit is absent from the body, but, as Paul writes, present with the Lord. A believer's lifeless body remains, usually buried. It returns to dust. But God's Son conquered the grave and defeated death. And the Bible explains that God will one day, he's going to collect all that dust. He's going to reconstitute it into a new, resurrected, immortal body. And it's going to be reunited with your spirit, which has been with Jesus Christ in heaven since the day you died. Now, Paul writes here in verses 15 and 16 that when Jesus returns, he will bring with him, that is, the spirits of those who have died, so that their spirits will be rejoined with this suddenly, newly resurrected, glorified body. All this, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, just as long as it takes you to blink your eyes. Now, we need to keep something straight here. Christ's second coming occurs in two phases, and here Paul is describing the first phase, which we call the rapture. It involves Jesus coming to the clouds or in the clouds with believers who have already died, that is their spirits, to bring about the resurrection of their bodies. Now, according to Revelation chapters 4 through 19, the rapture is followed by 7 years of tribulation. That's when God's judgment is poured out all over the earth. Then at the end of that 7-year tribulation period, you have the second phase of Jesus' return. That's going to take place at the end of the tribulation. And this time, Jesus doesn't come in the clouds or to the clouds. Luke chapter 21 says he comes in a cloud. Well, that's a reference to the cloudy pillar that represented the presence of God in the Old Testament. And this time, Jesus doesn't come for believers. He comes with believers. And he doesn't come merely to the clouds. Well, this time he comes all the way back down to earth, and he establishes his 1,000-year kingdom with his capital city in Jerusalem. Now, verse 16 here lays out the order of events with regard to the rapture. First, Jesus Christ descends from heaven to the clouds. 3 sounds are heard by the believers, Paul writes here, a cry of command, the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God. Now, these 3 sounds announce what immediately follows. In fact, this trumpet sound is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, which also describes the rapture. All this takes place in the twinkling of an eye. Now, keep that in mind. The first phase of Christ's return, the rapture, takes place in an instant, the twinkling of an eye, and it's experienced only by believers. The second phase, when Christ returns all the way down to earth, well, that's going to be seen by the entire world of both believers and unbelievers, because Jesus is going to come and judge the nations. He's going to defeat the devil, and he's going to set up his kingdom. Now, during this first phase, the rapture, Paul writes here in verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. That is, the bodies of the deceased believers will be instantly raised, reconstituted, glorified, joined together with their spirits who have accompanied Jesus with him to the clouds. Then Paul writes about believers who are still living when the rapture occurs. And by the way, Paul thought he was going to be alive as well. He says in verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Immediately following the raising of the bodies of deceased believers, the living believers will then be caught up to the clouds as well. Not in Jerusalem, but in the clouds. In fact, the word rapture actually comes from the Latin translation of this word we translate caught up or caught away in the English language. So, all living believers all over the world will also be raptured, snatched up, caught away to meet the Lord in the air. At that instant, in the twinkling of an eye, their bodies, just like the resurrected bodies of the deceased believers, will also be changed, glorified, instantly made perfect and immortal. And with that, the Lord will take us all to the Father's house. That's the city of gold and glory as the tribulation begins now on planet Earth. Now, what difference does this information make in our hearts and lives today as we await the Lord's coming for us in the clouds? It could happen today. Well, Paul answers that here in verse 18. He writes, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The word for encourage can be translated comfort. In other words, these truths are meant to encourage you and comfort you as you await the Lord's appearing. You don't need a fortune teller, beloved, to guide you. You don't need some horoscope today. You've got the Word of God. We just need a little patience as the Holy Spirit guides us. But let me tell you, beloved, if Jesus is able to snatch you away to heaven, give you an immortal body, and in the meantime, he's able to shepherd you through life on earth, shouldn't we trust him? Isn't he capable of leading us? Well, don't go looking for answers then in the stars. Keep digging into the scriptures that give us confidence in our Savior. Keep trusting the Lord today. Well, until we set sail again next time, beloved, if Jesus doesn't rapture us first, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. The message today is clear. Your future is secure in Christ. The rapture will unite you with the Lord and your loved ones in an instant. You don't need fortune tellers or horoscopes. You have God's Word. And as you await His return, find comfort and encouragement in these truths. Here at Wisdom International, we value your engagement and we want to hear from you. Do you have a question for us? Do you want to make a comment about our ministry? Has Stephen's teaching helped you grow in your walk with God? We want to hear about it. Email us at info@wisdomonline.org. And don't forget to connect with us on social media. Hit the like button on our Facebook page to get updates. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And if you'd prefer to watch Stephen's lessons, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We post the video version of this Wisdom Journey. What you want to look for is the name of our ministry, which is Wisdom International. Subscribe to the Wisdom International channel today. Then join us next time on this Wisdom Journey.